Romans chapter 15. Well, we're coming close to the end. And Paul here has kind of dealt with the issue of the weak and the strong in the faith, and how the weak need to be towards the strong, and the strong towards weak. Unfortunately for the strong, the weak don't always see that they're weak. The strong will recognize that. So we are the ones. Well, let's read what he says in chapter 15, verse 1. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. Infirmities means weaknesses. It means the strength, the scruples of conscience. Asthenema. Asthenema, actually. Or asthenema. I don't know. The pronunciations elude me. But, and not to please ourselves. See, that's sort of a summary of the previous chapter. We are strong. We have to bear the weak. Because the weak can't bear us, unfortunately. And it is wrong for us to force them to. Because they are weak. You know, we're strong. We can eat all things. We can worship any day we like. We can do this. We can do that. We have all this liberty. And now the weak come and they're like, they're all afraid, you know, and to them it's all sin and they're scared. You know, it's like, what do you do? No, come on. You know, it's like, well, they, you know, I'll find another example of weak, you know, sometimes weak people, you know, I think that it's the certain things shouldn't be done in church, right? And so, let's say they think, oh, you know, let's say their whole life they're raised, you know, you shouldn't, you know, the dancing in church would be out of line. Okay. Now, you don't receive that person to where they're telling people in your church that they can't dance. On the other hand, I would not despise them for not doing it. If they're weak. The strong ought to bear the weak. I mean, I'm going to let them worship in the way that God has led them so far. And with the hope, obviously, that being strengthened in the faith, they will overcome that legalism. And that's a spirit of legalism, which tells people, don't move. You know, cast your eyes downward. Sometimes it's appropriate to cast your eyes down. Sometimes it's appropriate to look up. Lift up your eyes to the heavens. To thee do I lift up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. As the eyes of a maiden to the hand of her mistress, or as the eyes of a servant to the hand of his master, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God. Sometimes we look down, right? Sometimes people put their hands up. Sometimes they don't want to put their hands up. Sometimes they're afraid. They're fearful. And to them, I don't know if it's so much a sin issue. Well, for some people, I suppose it could be. But again, I think we bear them, and we allow them, but at the same time, encourage them to grow, right? But let it not be to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. That's what's edifying. I've said edifying a few times. What does it mean? Right? We edify, 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 edify. I wish the first time I'd hit that word, I was like, edify. Edify is, without going to a dictionary, you know, it is to, you're building one another up. I believe the word literally means like to build up the house. Because it has oiko, which is house in it, and dome, which I think means build. Like build up a house. It means we're building something here. We're not tearing things down. And so edification should build one another. It should, you know, make the other approach closer to Christ. And become free. So that they can do whatever the Spirit leads them to. Whether it be to dance before the Lord. To lift up their voice and sing praises. To enjoy whatever food is set before them, or to worship God on any day and every day. Let it all be done for good and edification. Verse 3, for even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. That was written, I believe that was the book, that was Psalm 69, verse 9, yeah. Psalm 69, the reproaches of them that fell on thee, that were upon, of them that reproached thee fell on me. See, Christ did not come to serve himself, but he came rather to serve others. So, to be like Christ, we need to serve others, right? Interestingly, the verse from which that's taken is actually cut in half. The other verse is one that was quoted in Christ's life. It says, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that reproach thee are fallen on me. Interesting that Jesus went in with a whip, right? And I think that is also, that's another interesting example, because sometimes, see, Paul was speaking in a time when Christianity was new. That's why he says, hey, you know, concerning tongues, things like, he's concerned about how people are going to walk in and they're going to think you're all crazy, right? Because it was pretty new. I mean, within a couple of decades, this is the first, you know, so he's concerned about the orderliness and et cetera and et cetera. Time has passed now, right? And things have become established. Like in Jesus' day, there were all these established ways of doing worship and established this and established that. And Jesus, though that all that stuff displays a colossal lack of faith. As Paul said, they sought that. Why did they stumble? Because they sought it not by faith. In earlier chapters, he said this. So, if weakness is allowed to take hold and becomes codified into a religious system, sometimes things have to be shook up. Okay? And I'm going a little, this is by the Spirit, not by a law, but this is by the Spirit that sometimes, like, let's say, sometimes people don't like the way people worship. But sometimes they got to be shaken up and shaken out of it. Not that they should fall, but that they should become strong. Right? And like Paul, I mean, look at Paul. He had to be shaken out of the way he was doing things. Okay?